This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Freestyle Friday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, January 31st, episode 840, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. It's going to be a good one, guys. Good morning,
Guess
Horse
what day
World.
It is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday!
Well, it is Friday, and it is that exciting Friday. Not that I'm a real big football fan, because you guys know I really actually don't like football at all, but the pageantry that goes along with the Super Bowl is always so exciting, and it is the one football game I look forward to every year, pretty much because of the commercials, let's be honest. But it's always so exciting to talk about, and it is that Friday. How you doing, Glenn?
Good. It's the only time of the year. It's the only TV show I watch all year where I actually watch the commercials. Otherwise, fast forward.
You are really a TV kind of guy. And it's like, if I was watching it, I'd be like, shh. Game's over. Let's watch commercial. That's what happens when it goes into breaks. Bruno Mars is going to be the halftime show, which should be pretty good. So I think it's going to be a great. I think it's going to be a great one. And if it's any, I know you're going to use this as your daily Winnie, but if it's any clue as to what has been leaked on the internet as far as Super Bowl commercials, it's going to be a good one. And by the way, I am pulling for the Denver Broncos because I think Peyton Manning is like the coolest guy ever.
And I'm on Denver Broncos side too because of Thunder. And they shipped Thunder. they shipped Thunder out, and he has arrived in New Jersey. So Thunder is there getting ready for his duties as the mascot of the Broncos. And, you know, if you're going to have a Bronco against a Seahawk, you know who's going to win, right? I mean, the Broncos going to kick the heck out of the Seahawks. So,
without a doubt.
Pretty simple when you look at it that way.
Yes, it is. So it's going to be a good one. I would like to make an announcement. This is a really
again?
Big day for me. Huh? No, God. That's not an announcement I'm ever going to make. Bring it down a notch there, Glenn. So my announcement is that I have one of the most awesome guests that we've ever had on the show coming up today. It is a super secret. I won't tell
she
Glenn.
Tell.
I won't tell the producer. I even tell Jennifer, who has to call him later and put him on the line. But I am so excited about this guest. And ladies, you are going to love it. And every single person out there knows who this person is. He's uber famous. Uber famous, super secret surprise guest coming up today. And I'm so excited. And I hope he's not listening because he's going to think I'm the biggest dork. And I might get a little starstruck.
Stalker.
And I might get a little nervous. But
Stalker.
It's going to be awesome. So listen around 9:45 Eastern Standard Time. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday Edition, we open with a Green with Envy segment courtesy of eventer Kayla Muller, who has just returned from a horse shopping trip in Ireland, and then back stateside for a chat with Matt Darby from Speed Silks, who is going to tell us why jockeys should dress like golf balls, and following a super secret mystery guest with something either earth-shattering, stunning, or shocking to say.
Woo-hoo!
It's on to really bad ads for a free weekend warm-up for your laugh muscles. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. My Daily Winnie goes out today to Budweiser and Foot Locker. Now, I have not watched all the commercials yet for, because I like some of them to be a surprise by the time they get here, but you couldn't help but watch the Budweiser commercial. It was on everybody's Facebook page in the entire horse world. And could they make a Budweiser commercial that is any cuter? They just keep getting cuter. They keep upping the cute quotient every year, and this year it was puppies.
My God, it was so cute. And, you know, that the Golden Retriever puppies might be the cutest puppies ever. Or they lab puppy. I don't know. They're so cute. And if you haven't
really
seen
are.
That ad, go watch it now because it is so good. But I was surprised when you had me play the Foot Locker ad on what what happened in that ad. And do you want to tell people or you want to keep it a secret surprise until they see it because it was good?
I think there's two groups of people that are going to watch this ad. There's a Jennifer group who watched it and had no idea who any of the people were, so it didn't mean anything at all to her. And then there's the semi-sports fans who watch it and really get the commercial. And if you are a semi-sports fan, this will be the best commercial of the Super Bowl for you. It's really good.
It's really
and, you know,
good.
Foot Locker, I don't think, has ever been known for having terrific, funny commercials. This one's really, really good.
They cashed it all in. No, they cashed it all in. I don't know how they got the people to agree to being in this ad, but it is. But the Budweiser one makes you cry. Like, I've watched it 5 times, and I cry every single time. And then this one, I was like, jaw on the floor. Oh, my God, did that really happen kind of commercial.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just especially the one particular one in this commercial. If you know anything about politics, you will get why
said,
it is so amazing.
He said one way. He said one way. So good.
I wasn't expecting that either with that scene. I was just not expecting it. Caught me off guard. All right. It's your turn.
You know, it's hard to try to on this awesome Friday, break it down into just one Daily Winnie. Because I was going to give it to all my girls out at Galway Downs. There's a big horse trial at Galway this weekend. And then I was going to give it to Hanson because Hanson is now a daddy. His first baby was born. It's a colt born at Leading Edge Farm in near Ocala, near you guys. Really cute baby. But then I thought, you know what? Suck it. I'm giving it to myself. I'm giving it to myself because I have booked the most awesome super secret guest that we're ever going to have on this radio show, and nobody has any idea who it is, and everybody's going to know him, and it's awesome, and I'm so excited. So it goes to me. Booyah. First time ever. It's the first time for everything.
Although, when you announced this last night on Jennifer's phone, on the text, I did say, would you please write back and ask if it's Carrie Underwood, because I had to get mentally prepared for that. And then you said
I
knew it wasn't Carrie Underwood.
Yes, yes. She texted me back, oh, you finally got Carrie Underwood. And I wrote, how did you know? Call him at this number. I was like, oh, I mean her. So, yeah, it's a dude.
Not Carrie Underwood. So it's not the most awesome guest you could probably have gotten. You could have done better.
As our listeners are going to think that this person is the most awesome guest. And I'm not overselling here, people. I might be overselling. But to me, I'm excited. Maybe I am overselling. Maybe I should bring it down a notch. But
yeah. Yeah, you've raised expectations now. Has this person ever been on our show before?
No, never.
Ever been on a Horse Radio Network show before?
Never.
Is this person into horses or into horses and something else that we know them by?
I'm not going to tell you anything else. You're just going to have to wait with bated breath like the rest of our listeners and like your wife.
Animal,
this
vegetable,
person
or mineral?
Exactly. Oh, it's exciting. It's exciting. It's Friday. I'm thrilled it's Friday, period. I took little Lucas to his first ever hockey game last night. We went to the NHL game, the Coyotes.
Really?
Yeah, he's now been to a Major League Baseball game, which he did at 8 days old, and then he went to a football game, which was a disaster because it's just way too loud and too many drunk people to be around a baby. And I thought, well, Chad Squadron was doing the doing a hockey game, and they had a suite. So I thought, well, that'll be great. That'll be perfect. You know, maybe I can get him to sleep in the suite and put him down. He was, like, standing up wide-eyed, watched the whole thing, was super excited. And I thought, oh, my gosh, he's going to sleep so good when we get home. He's going to just crash. He was way overstimulated, could not sleep like all night long, so I've been up about 20 minutes. He's getting another tooth, so he's going to have 8 teeth at 8 months old, which, by the way, today is his 8-month birthday. So that's another day.
So what day would he be born again?
The 31st of May.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. I thought it was, I couldn't remember if it was April or May. That's where I was getting confused.
Yes, May 31st. And actually, what was really cool is that's my dad's birthday. So his only grandson was born on his birthday. So I figure from now on, I don't have to get him a birthday present because he's set. I gave him a grandson on his birthday. You're done.
Well, and he has no excuse for getting his grandson's birthday either, does he?
Exactly. He can't. It's impossible.
Unless he forgets his own, which I've been known to do.
Yeah, probably. Well, we're waiting on our first guest to get on the line, Glenn. Do we have an ad to do, or are we just going to roll right on through it?
Let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products while we're waiting for Kayla, and then we'll hear about her tremendous shopping trip. Well, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we talk a lot about Kentucky Performance Products, and that's because they are a name you can trust to give you the most value for your supplement money. Kentucky Performance Products offers supplements designed to target specific problems that are made with high-quality ingredients included at effective levels. The company's supplements are intended to complement, not compete, with your dressage horse's current feeding program, guarding against over-supplementation, and each product is backed by sound research and the money-back satisfaction guarantee. And today we'd like to talk to you about Nalox, the original equine antacid. It's recommended by veterinarians and leading horsemen as a way of maintaining a healthy stomach, which reduces the risk of ulcers. Nalox can be given daily to horses exposed to stressful conditions or as needed when shipping, competing, or during stall confinement. You know, you can learn about Nalox and all the products at Kentucky Performance Products at KPPUSA.com. That's Kentucky Performance Products at KPPUSA.com.
And we've got our first guest on the line. I am so excited and so incredibly jealous to talk to Kayla Mueller. Kayla, of course, advanced level eventer, selected as Cantor Mid-Atlantic Young Trainer in 2011 from Fox Hall Eventing. This is where you work, actually, which I do believe is, well, I'll tell you my name for him later. Kayla Mueller. Hey, Kayla.
Hey, how are you guys?
Thank you so much for joining us. Everybody on that is listening to this show is going to be so jealous to talk to you, to listen to this, because, oh, my gosh, you got to go shopping and not just regular old horse shopping. Tell everybody where you went.
I got to go to England and Ireland to go horse shopping, hopefully for my incoming a four-star type horse. So,
where do you find that Craigslist ad?
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah. So, no, it was a lot of fun.
When did you go?
I went, I think, what was it, January 13th through the 19th.
January 3rd. So you just got back.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes. What I want to do is I want to pretend that this was me, and I was going to England and Ireland to go horse shopping. So you get off the plane, and what do you have an agent? Do you have somebody that has set up appointment times, or are you just kind of like looking in the, you know, online looking for horses?
Well, it started off with looking online at horses, but, I mean, you don't really know where everything is and everything like that. So I ended up going with an agent that drove me and my investor around. But our plane actually got delayed. So we were going to land and have an hour to kind of like recoup and everything before we started to look at horses, but our plane was delayed for about an hour and a half. So once we landed, we, like, zipped on over to the first farm and just started trying horses. It was a little jet-lagged, but no, it was a lot of fun.
So did you ever think that you would be being picked up from the airport with your agent and investor to go horse shopping in Ireland? I mean, is that like a dream come true?
It is a dream come true, but actually I never thought, like, this is the direction my life was going to go. When I was younger, my stepmom's an upper-level event rider. She's originally from California, and then we moved to the East Coast. And when I saw her, like, you know, busting her butt off and doing all this stuff, I was like, I don't want to ride horses for a living. That just seems like so much hard
too much work.
And in a roundabout way, I kind of came back to it and decided that, yep, this is something I want to do, and I've hit the ground running. So,
yeah, no
yeah.
kidding. And just when your dad married a major player in the eventing community, like, to me, I would be like, score, Dad, thank God, you married somebody awesome. What was your thought? Or were you really young?
I was really young. I think I was like 4, so I don't know. I didn't really have a lot of thoughts back then, except for I like ponies.
Yeah.
So, but my dad's into horses too, and so it's kind of, we're a horsey family.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you hit the ground running, and you go to your first place, and so obviously you're looking at advanced level prospects. Are these advanced level horses already competing advanced, or what?
No, my budget was not quite that big. I was looking at basically really young horses from 4 to 6 that had either just started competing, or some of the 4-year-olds I sat on were just broke. And that was an experience, but they were all so well behaved. It was actually really nice to sit on all of them.
Wow. So when you're out there shopping and you're riding all these different horses, what are some of the things that you look for?
Well, basically, when you're watching the horse go, you're looking for, or at least I'm looking for, the movement. So I broke it down and I scored each gait, the walk, the trot, and the canter, on a scale of 1 to 10, and then watched it jump, watched its scope over the fences, and then decided if I wanted to get on or not. And you also look at, like, how the horse lands after the fence. If it lands heavy on its forehand, you know, that's going to be a big issue on the cross country. And even in the show jumping, then you have to do a lot more work to get them back up lighter on the front end to ride forward. So
do you free jump them, or do you have somebody else ride them?
Well, it depended. Some of the horses hadn't jumped with a rider on, so we free jumped those horses, and then the other ones, usually the rider just popped them over a few jumps or a course or something like that.
Were there any that you when you looked at it, you were like, oh my God, I'm in love, and then were disappointed in the way it moved or anything like that?
Yes. There was this one mare that was just gorgeous. She was gray. She was beautiful. She had this presence. And we actually ended up getting to their yard last, and they were it was getting dark, and we were free jumping her basically in the dark, and she had this beautiful jump, but her trot just was really frantic. So we took her into the indoor to see if, like, we could get her to relax, and she did relax, but her trot just wasn't there. It wasn't, like, that wow factor that you look for with, like, the huge movement in the shoulder and the reach from behind. And I was like, oh, I really want to like this horse, but I can't.
Wow, that had to be disappointing, especially, and Kayla, you should know better. Don't look at the face. Don't look at the face, because you fall in love with the face.
I know.
So how many horses did you try when you were over there?
I lost count. I think the first day we looked at, like, 6, And then the following day, so in Ireland, I looked at 6 the first day, and then the following day we went over to Sportsfield, and which is Paul Donovan's yard, and I swear he pulled out every single horse he had in his barn. And
needed to pay the rent.
Yeah, exactly. And so I had to get really choosy about which ones I sat on, because he just kept pulling them out and pulling them out, and they were all lovely, lovely horses. And so I had to get really choosy with, no, that one's just not for me. It's a really nice horse, but I had to kind of get in tune with what type of ride I'm comfortable with and then go from there.
Yeah, so you were you had a pretty good vision of what you wanted even before you landed in Ireland.
Yes.
Now, Jamie, you need to ask her how she did.
I was getting to that, Glenn. I'm painting the picture.
I'm
the
getting
end of
anxious.
This because
I want to know.
That's what we're doing here. We're making you wait. So you try all these horses in Ireland, and then you've got to hop a plane and go to England?
Yes. So then I hopped a plane. We woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, hopped on a plane at 5, maybe 5:50 or something like that. Basically, we got there at 7:30 and looked at our first horse at 8:30, and I think I had like 3 hours of sleep that night because then a fire alarm went off in the hotel. And so I was exhausted. And over in England, so in Ireland, we looked at basically like a lot of quantity, like we looked at a lot more quantity of horses. They're all quality. But in England, the agent that we used was a little more selective in the fact that he chose the horses that he would want in his own barn for me to look at. So I didn't look at quite as many horses, but definitely very quality horses.
Better horses, gotcha.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Did you find anything that you were interested in Ireland? Like when you left Ireland, you're like, you've got some names down?
Yes. I had about, I think, 2 or 3 that were on my top list. And then one of them, I fell in love with her, but I fell in love with her personality a little bit more than her scope and everything like that. So looking back on it, when I got home, I had to kind of wrap my head around everything. And then I was like, you know what? I think I fell in love with more of her personality than her actual ability.
Because you have to be, like, you can't emotionally purchase a 4-star potential horse. You have to be pretty strict about your emotions, right?
Right. Yeah, no, you do, and that was the hard thing. And I've never honestly shopped for this caliber of horse before. I have a really nice young up and coming horse now that I'm hoping will be a 4-star horse, and that's kind of what I bought him for. But that wasn't the end all be all, and that's what we're purchasing now is kind of the end all be all. Like, we want that 4-star horse. You know, it's not a deal breaker if it doesn't make it.
It's still a gamble at any level, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's so nerve-wracking. You're like, oh, did I make the right decision?
Oh, my gosh, how tough.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I mean, I know on a small, tiny, minute scale, I bought an off-the-track guy that I just absolutely love, and I love the way he looks, and I love – but he was on the track, so you have a limited ability of testing them out, you know, and so you can pretty much just get on them and go, yeah,
right.
he's got all the movement, but you can't really jump them and stuff like that. So I bring him home, and I love this horse, Kayla. I love his face. I love kissing his nose. I love brushing him, and I love everything about him. And he is the biggest freaking chicken that I've ever owned. I mean, dear God, he jumps. I have a little Liverpool in my arena, and every day I jump him. He stops at the spooks of the Liverpool, just trotting by it. I'm like, it's the same thing every day. And so I can imagine that when you are on such a, you know, I only paid like, you know, X racehorse. Like, I adopted him, and it's so disappointing to me. I can't imagine, wrap my brain around the fact that you've traveled across the country and you're putting all your not to make you nervous or anything, you're all dragging in one basket.
I'm well aware. Don't worry. I've already had a few freak-out sessions just by myself in my room going, oh, my God, I hope I chose the right horse. And
I'll tell you what. I was looking at some pictures of you here on your Facebook page. You couldn't get any cuter. And I got to ask you, is it harder to pick out a boyfriend or a horse?
It's kind of 50-50, but I think I've settled on a really good boyfriend. So
okay.
He goes to all the horse shows and is my groom, basically. So he's pretty spectacular. Wins boyfriend of the award. Yeah. So, but it is, you know, you got to test the boys out. Take them to the horse show. See if they'll cut it.
Oh, yeah. And we can get to that in a second. But before we have to let you go, because I want to talk boyfriend next time you call, because that's what we do. I've got I married him because he was a good groom. Mine. So, Kayla, how did you end up? Did you bring something home? Did you find your four-star horse, the horse of your dreams, or are you still going to keep looking?
I actually vetted a horse yesterday, and he passed, so we're just in the process of, my vet has to look at the x-rays and everything like that, it's not finalized yet, but we're in those processes, and very excited.
Tell us about him, real quick.
So he's five, he's rising five, and he was backed 2 months ago, and he's already jumping around. I think we're going to take it back a notch when he gets here. But he has an amazing canter. Like, you just watch it and you go, wow. I don't know if you guys have ever watched Twizzle go around and how amazing that horse's canter is. This horse he reminded me of Twizzle going around, so I was like, oh, well. Plus for you. And the scope on this horse, I mean, he came up to the first cross rail and basically jumped the standards.
Are you kidding me?
I'm very excited about him.
Does Will Coleman know that you're just trying to get a horse like his? You're coming after him?
Exactly. I'm coming after you, Will. No.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. That's great news. You found maybe the potential horse, and he's young enough to where, you know, you didn't go buy something made. You're going to go the hard way, and you're going to make it yourself, and that's really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually funny because I ran into William Fox Pitt the first yard I was at in Ireland. And I was a little starstruck, but he stopped and talked to me about the horses, and he's like, oh, what are you looking for? And I told him that I was looking for a potential four-star horse, and he goes, oh, when you're starting young, you have a lot of patience. I don't have that much patience anymore. I buy them a little more made.
I can afford to.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, well, our budget, you know, this is what we're working with, so this is what we're going to go with, so.
Yeah, you're in a little different place in life, but and financially, I think that I don't think William Fox Pitt has paid for a horse in 20 years. They're like, please ride my horse, take it.
Pretty much.
You know,
I give him my horses.
How cool is it? You show up the first barn and there's William Fox Pitt, all 7 foot of him standing there.
I know. And he rode two horses while I was there in the ring. I was like, oh, boy, better not mess up. Here we go.
Yeah. So tell us his name, the horse's name, and his color, and what does he look like, and how tall is he? Give us, like, his Craigslist ad.
So he is Bay. He's Bay Gelding. He's by Lux. His barn name is Rue. And I don't know his registered name. I didn't catch that in the whirlwind trip that we had. And he's like a really light bay with the black mane and tail. And he's 16'2", I believe.
16'2". His name is Rue. Well, I can't. Let's see. It's now February, March, April. You've got 3 months to get him to Rolex, girl. So good
All
luck.
Right, let's do it.
We will see you there. No, I'll give you till next year, okay? I'll give you till next year. I'm excited for you. That's so great. Congratulations. And we wish you the best. And next time we're going to talk about the boyfriend.
All right, we'll do that. It'll be so good.
It'll be great. It'll be great. Yeah. Thanks, Kayla.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Talk to you soon.
Well, that sounded like fun. There's every girl's dream to be able to go do, right?
That is just
talk about
that.
Stressful, though. Oh, my gosh. I'm getting sweaty palms listening.
I know,
is
right?
Is it better to have the investor with you or not?
That's a good question. You would think that at least if they were with you, you could blame some of it on them if it didn't work out.
Them.
But you were there.
Right. You were there. You didn't tell me not to take that one.
You didn't tell me.
Good point. Good point. Okay, we just determined it's better to have the investor there. Let's take a break for Equestrian Collections Product of the Week, and then we're coming back with our next guest. We have him lined up here today. We're coming back with our next guest, and we're going to Matt Darby. We're going to be talking all about silks. That's jockey silks. Hi, Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I am here with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with our grooming product of the week.
This week I've chosen the Posture Prep Cross Fiber Groomer. And part of the reason I selected it is because this time of the year we don't get to ride quite as often as we do most other types of the year. And this particular item is not just a grooming, it looks like a lot of the different types of groomers that are out there. But this one is different because although they are selling this groomer, it's actually the entire system that they're selling. Because this was designed by a chiropractor, and an equine and human chiropractor. And it comes with a booklet, and it tells you how to use this. This is actually done so that you can warm your horse up a little bit better, keep his muscles in tone just from grooming. I mean, of course, it's not the same as riding all the time, but you can warm him up with this. You can cool him down with this. If you have scar tissue, if you have an injury, you can use this a certain way to help with the scar tissue. It helps break the adhesive scar tissues if you've done it right, and all of the information about how to use this is included when you purchase this groomer. It's something kind of new, and when I first saw it, I thought, well, it looks like any other groomer, but actually when you look into it, it's not. It's an actual system to help your horse's overall health, you know, by stimulating the muscles just by grooming. And this time of year, you can get a little bit, it's not a real workout, but you can get a little bit of stimulus into your horse's body just from grooming them this time of year. And you can use it for an injury that you're working on to get better. So it's just a system, and I think it's really unique and something that people might be looking for, particularly this time of year.
And the price is right. You can head on.
It's $19.95, and for that you get the groomer and a booklet and an introductory membership to the Posture Prep site so that you can ask questions. And it's just a unique system and something that I think a lot of people could use, and especially right now.
You can find it all at equestriancollections.com. Just search for Posture Prep, and it'll come up at equestriancollections.com. Well, coming up right now, we have Matt Darby, who is from a company by the name of Speed Silks, and we're talking jockey.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Before we get into talking about the next generation of jockey silk, I venture to guess that most of us don't know about the previous generation of jockey silk. So tell us a little bit about the tradition. I know that they've been pretty much using the same kind of thing for the last 100 years.
If not more than that, and I'm glad that you mentioned the word tradition. That's been one of the biggest hurdles that I've had to leap since I got into this business. When I first was exposed to the horse racing industry, it was actually about 7.5 years ago. I landed a gig at the American Quarter Horse Association doing, among other things, marketing for their racing department. And so they send me to horse races all over the country. And the very first one that I went to, I took a trip with another old-timer that I worked with. He had been in the business for forever. We went to, I think it was Turf Paradise. And after, I'm not kidding you, the first couple of races, one of the first questions I asked him was, why do the jockeys wear loose, baggy clothing, their pants, their jerseys, everything was just flapping in the wind. And it struck me as odd that in an industry so obsessed with speed, they would overlook something so obvious, because all the other speed-related sports out there took great pains to prevent that sort of thing from happening. And I just sort of got a shrug of the shoulders from him. He said he didn't know. They've always worn things like that. And so I kept asking around, and every trainer that I asked, or owner, or jockey, or, you know, track administrator that I asked said the exact same thing, which was, I don't know. They've always worn silks like that. And so I spent a little time looking into it, and I ended up spending about the next 2.5 years developing the product that I now sell, and it's called Speed Silks, and it's essentially a four-piece, head-to-toe, form-fitting jockey uniform that's made out of a special aerodynamically engineered fabric called Aerodimplex.
Now, yeah, because, you know, you think about the swimmers, and we're going to be, you know, you think about the swimmers, and they're wearing practically nothing anymore, but what they do wear is so skin tight for that same reason, and you're right, I never really even thought about it, but everything they wear is baggy.
Absolutely, and I don't quite get it. Actually, back in the early to mid-90s, you started to see some form-fitting tops, just the tops. They still make them. They're not insanely popular because they're not terribly comfortable. They are form-fitting, but they're made out of spandex, which is not a very breathable material. It tends to get hot, and it's kind of heavy. Jockeys don't like any of those things. And so they haven't all necessarily adopted it. And one of the best things I have going for me is that the Aerodimplex fabric that I use is extremely lightweight, and it's very breathable, so it overcomes a lot of those issues.
Well, I know one of the reasons that they like the silks that they have now is they're easy to take on and off in between races, and you know they have to do it quickly sometimes. So yours, tell us about what yours, you know, exactly what it is, and of course, you know, you can get the designs, because that's the most important part about the silks is getting the custom farm designs and everything on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything is completely customizable. We can get bright colors, super sharp detail. The jockeys have to take a little more care with speed silks than they do with their old ones. Keep in mind that old-fashioned silks are just made out of basically nylon, and it was chosen because it's inexpensive and because it's durable. Well, I have to use, or at least I've chosen to use, Aerodimplex because of its aerodynamic properties. And so the restrictions of the fabric mean that you're going to have to take a little extra care with them. You can't just throw them in the washing machine with all the other silks and think that they're going to be fine. The fabric is a little more delicate. It doesn't react well to things like Velcro or zippers. So that really is, I think, the other major hurdle that I have to overcome when I'm pitching this product to particularly a jockey or a trainer that needs to be the one that's caring for these things and making sure that they don't get lost or damaged in any way.
Well, when we took the tour of the Churchill Downs, it was so cool to go into the silk room, and you'll see hundreds and hundreds of them in there.
Yeah.
And you know, and are they bought by the farms? Is that who buys the silks?
Generally speaking, let's say that you bought a racehorse, which I
okay.
don't necessarily recommend you buy a racehorse. But let's
come
say
on, Glenn.
Let's
Step
say you
up.
Did, or even a stable of racehorses. Let's say you have 6 horses out there that you're running all over the country throughout the year. Well, you're going to order, you know, a handful of silks. And so you call right now, unless you're calling Speed Silks, you're probably calling like Aunt Edna in Edmond, Oklahoma, and saying, hey, Edna, it's me. You already have my pattern on file. Or if not, here it is. I need a couple of sets of silks. And she'd say, okay. And if your pattern was, say, I don't know, you know, a red body with blue sleeves and a gold star on the chest, well, she'd go pull a whole bunch of blue nylon off a roll and a bunch of red nylon and a bunch of gold nylon, and she'd take scissors to it, and she would start literally by hand cutting and sewing your silks. And then a few weeks later or a couple of months later, you'd get them in the mail. Now, what you're going to do with those silks is the trainer or owner. let's say you're at Del Mar. You're going to send them to Del Mar, and then the trainer of your horses at Del Mar is going to make sure that they end up in the jockey's quarters and that they're hung up on the hangar, and that when the Del Mar's meet is over and you're going to move your horses to, I don't know, Albuquerque or something, well, then the trainer is going to make sure that those silks get taken out of the Del Mar jock's quarters and they get sent to the jock's quarters at Albuquerque. And so they sort of make the trek around the country at the same time you're shipping your horses around the country. It's generally how it works. By and large, the trainers are asked to keep track of that sort of thing.
Seems like they didn't have enough to do.
Exactly.
Now, does this go over the vest?
Yeah, it goes over the protective vest. Every piece in the set, all four pieces, were specifically designed from the ground up for use by equine jockeys. So all the tops fit over the protective vest. Right now they're one-size-fits-all, but fortunately jockeys are generally one-size-fits-all.
Yeah, they're
so I haven't yet had a need to do what's called grade the garments, and the garment industry is what we refer to that as. Same with the pants. Again, they're form-fitting, but we didn't just take a set of tights or running tights, for example, and make them out of aerodemplex. They were also built from the ground up to accommodate the particular needs of a jockey.
What's your biggest challenge that you're finding in trying to sell these?
The biggest challenge to sell them? I think that I've had a hard time getting through to the older crowd, and I don't even want to use the word older because that's a relative term in the horse racing business, believe me.
Well, we come back to that word tradition again, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. I find that the younger the owner or trainer or jockey, the much more accepting they are of this technology and this particular look, because if you head to the website, you'll see Speed Silks absolutely do not look like traditional silks.
No, they don't. They look more like a swimmer's bodysuit.
Yeah, exactly. Or some of the suits that high-end cyclists or runners are wearing,
that's
for example.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, which they wear for the exact same reason, to reduce
aerodynamics.
Well, I
wouldn't say runners, because they pretty much wear G-strings now, most of them on the track.
You know what?
Maybe we'll go with bicyclists.
What it reminds me of is, you guys have seen the movie A Knight's Tale, and it is the movie with Heath Ledger. And he's walking around in this giant, heavy armor. And then the girl, the farrier, makes him a new set of armor. And everybody's laughing at him as they're trying to be hoisted up onto their horse. And he walks by and everybody's like, look at that armor. And then he just throws his foot in the stirrup and hops up on the horse and looks at him and gallops off. And that's kind of what it reminds me of. Like, all these people are going to be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe wait, you're faster than us. It just makes sense.
I would say, aside from convincing the older generation that this is a change they need to make, the other biggest challenge has been a marketing challenge, and that's because I think describing the utility of Speed Silks and explaining how they work and why they work is rather complex and technical, and it's tough to get that across to somebody with, you know, a banner ad on a website or a bumper sticker or something like that. And so I've tended to gravitate towards, you know, larger format marketing, magazine ads and whatnot, because I can really get as wordy as I need to get.
I think you're going to have to have them on. I mean, you're going to have one barn pick them up that's of some note and, you know, have the jockey agree to ride in them, have one famous jockey agree to ride in them, and that's going to break the trend. Just like we did with the helmet side, you know. So.
Oh yeah, I agree 100%. In fact, my test jockey. I'm glad you brought that up. My test jockey, that as I was still in the process of developing prototypes, he said that you know, when he got started in this business, and he's only a little older than I am, so he's not exactly an old timer. Anyone older than me is old now. By the way, that's how that system works. He said that when he got into the business, everyone was using the smaller, what are called Caliente-style helmets, the little skull caps.
Yeah,
but they had come out with the larger, better jockey helmets, but they were big, and they were kind of bulbous, and nobody wanted to use them until one particular jockey that was at the time at the top of his game, everyone knew him, everyone respected him, he switched after he took a spill. And he said within a couple of three seasons, literally everybody was using the larger helmets, and now it's completely normal. So I'm hoping that something like that happens here. I've picked up a couple of major names in the business. I'm making Bob Baffert's silks now. One of my first clients
actually
was.
Needed.
Yeah, oh,
that's what
I
you,
agree,
need. 100%. You needed the one big name, and we're running out of time here. We have to run. We're up against the break. Matt, we appreciate you joining us today. If you want to see what these silks look like, it's speedsilks.com. Very simple. And good luck. We'll hope to see them in the Kentucky Derby next year.
Yeah, likewise.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
So there's all you needed to know about silks.
Everything you needed to know about silks. Now, I've got to tell you that I'm super excited because my super secret guest, Glenn, is officially on the phone here, and I don't know how to introduce him other than every single one of you guys knows who he is, and you're going to be hearing a lot more about him come Monday morning because he is in the best Super Bowl commercial of all time, and I would like to welcome Don Jeans. Don, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry I've been stalking you for, I don't know, a year, something like that.
Thank you for having me, and I'm glad we finally got connected.
I know. It finally just took us texting back and forth, I think, was the final way. So everybody listening right now, this Don is so famous. You've all seen him. You have now officially cried probably repeatedly because of him. Tell us about being the Clydesdale guy and the puppy guy now in the Super Bowl commercials.
Man, I got to tell you, I got the best job in the world. For the first year, I couldn't believe I got to go on set and work with horses every day. And then they brought me back for a second one, and they threw in a very lovely lady, Melissa Keller, and a puppy. I said, man, you guys are doing me a favor. You got everything but the kitchen sink in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's really cool.
So if you're still not quite clued in, he was the guy that raised the Clydesdale baby, the greatest Super Bowl ad of last year, and the
Chicago off. City scene there.
Yes,
yeah.
And the horse gallops back to him because
yes.
They love
okay.
each other. And I'm gonna go ahead and say that was real because emotionally I need to think that was real.
It was. Well then we'll run with it.
That was really your horse, and it really happened, and you read the paper, and you actually really went to see the Budweiser Clydesdales, and he really broke free and came galloping to you?
You got it. That was the most amazing day of my life.
So tell us about your new puppy, then, if we're going to go with it.
Oh, so, yeah. So, anyway, after that, obviously, my deal with Budweiser just got bigger and bigger, so they started buying more horses from Don mm-hmm. Jeans, the horse breeder, and then I had this lady move in, you know, right down the street of the ranch down the road, and she raises and keeps these adopted Labrador retrievers. I mean, these beautiful little puppies, and it kept showing up at the barn. I couldn't figure it out, you know, because I'm a nice guy, but I'm about my business. So I can't have
right.
a little puppy wandering around the stables. Let's get this back to Melissa. And then, you know, when the horses stop it, they got a mind of their own. And you don't want to get in the way of a Clydesdale, all right?
Right.
So they
right.
stopped the car, and they got him out of there. And now his name is Ralph Waldo Emerson, but I call him Buddy.
Okay.
And we're having a good time. We're a big, happy family.
Oh, my God, I love you more now. Thank you. Thank you for going with that.
Yeah.
So talking to about Don Jeans here, have you always been a horse guy?
I have. I was raised on a ranch right here in Houston, Texas, about an hour and a half north of Houston. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit of feedback. But
I know, I am too.
My dad was a rancher for 40 years. He passed away in 2005, God rest his soul. But my grandfather still owns a 1,000-acre ranch right here in Dayton, Texas, 30 miles north of Houston. And I've been working cows, fixing fence, working on the ranch for my whole life. I even, when I was about 15, I rode bulls. And there's a country music musician who said he had about a 15-minute career, which is about about, what is it? Oh gosh, 10 minutes on 5 bulls or less than that, or 5, 10 bulls at 5 minutes each, 5 seconds, 15-second career. Gosh. And I think that's
seconds.
About how long mine lasted, about 15 seconds, because my brother broke his collarbone, and I said, no, I don't want to do that no more. But I've always loved horses, and we always had quarter horses out of the ranch, and they're just.
I would bet your mother probably did not want you riding bulls after your brother broke his collarbone.
She did not, and he was driving, and I used that as an excuse. I said, oh, yeah, well, we can't get there, so I'm good.
Your poor mother. So you are still living near a ranch in Houston? Are you still in Houston?
No, ma'am. I'm in Houston to visit family on a little bit of a family emergency right now, but I live in Hollywood, California, and I go out on auditions every day. My main job is an actor.
Well, I've got to tell you that you're not pulling anything over on me, because I do know that you live on that Budweiser farm, but I also know that you're the handsome soldier in the Cuba Libre commercials.
That's right. That is right.
I saw that. I was like, wait! That's the guy that owns the Clydesdale.
He gets around.
That was my great grandfather. That was footage of him fighting in the Cuban American War.
Yes, yes. And the Penelope Cruz lookalike was his wife,
go.
Right?
There you go.
Hey, Don. Don, I got to ask you. We owned an acting company for a long time, and we did improv. Have you been improv trained? The reason I ask that is, you see so many of the top name actors in interviews, and they ask about the movie, and they can't even tell about the movie. You just did the most excellent descriptions of two of the commercials you were in than I've ever heard any actor ever do. So you must have been improv trained at some point or another.
Well, thank you, sir. You have got it. I did train at the Upright Citizens Brigade in New York, and I've got a friend I've known for a really long time, and people get around us, and they're like, I'm not even going to try to keep up, because we just go on these stories. One of my favorite pastimes is making up backstories for people I see on the street. So we'll just go off, and then we act out their lives after they've left. Pretty fun.
That's great. So the commercial that we're going to see this weekend – last year was you and the foal. This year was you, a puppy, the horse, and the girl. Next year, just to make all the women swoon, is it going to be you, a horse, a dog, the lady, and a little baby? I mean, to me, that's the natural progression.
You know what? Let's spread that rumor. Let's really lock Budweiser into it, because I would like to do another one.
I hope you get $1 per play on YouTube for this commercial, because you'll be a rich man.
Oh, Lord, I wish I did. From your lips to God's ears.
I think it's up to like 16 million views. And is there a reason that they would want to release it ahead of time to get people talking about it? Do you know why they would do that?
Well, from what I can surmise, obviously it's going to just build more interest before the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, people are still going to watch it, but leading up to it now, it's great marketing. You get more people interested in the commercial and watching it, more eyes on your product.
Are you getting recognized now for this ad?
You know what's weird is I look a little bit different without a hat on, and people look at me sometimes, but they don't know where they know me from. So I get about 2 or 3 glances, and then they shake their head and walk away trying to figure out if I'm their friend, cousin.
Listen, Don, all you need to do is throw on a ball cap and put on some jeans and boots, and you'll be swarmed, my friend.
Well, you know what? I got a little bit of a dilemma. I do have the ball cap from the commercial. They let me keep that, which is very nice of them. But I figure if I wore it around town, it'd be just a little bit too needy. So I keep that in the closet.
Dude, you live in Hollywood. It is the land of the needy, okay?
That's true.
You're going to be just fine. Throw on the hat. Go to the grocery store.
That's right. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Don, can you tell us anything you have coming up?
I got a couple things. There's a movie that I did in the Amazon called Dark Amazon that is currently looking for distribution. I've got a short film that I did through the USC Thesis program. That's an artistic film that's going to be going to festivals. That is the story of a young singer who has lost her way and I play her love interest. And interestingly enough, I don't know if you know who Mackenzie Phillips is.
Oh, sure do. Yeah.
Yeah. She plays the mother in that one. And then I have another short film called Akazo, which was pretty big budget for a short film. And that's it literally translates to chance, and it's about a guy who's thinking about taking his own life. He's talked out of it by another guy, and then there's a cool twist at the end. And that's opposite a guy named David Lee Smith, who was the guy in Fight Club who was selling them icons when he says, "Can I get that in Patty Winkle Blue?" Other than that, I have a Kia commercial running right now. And auditions every day.
Well, now,
so what is,
you're gonna have Jamie swooning here because I got to ask you, do you sing also?
I don't sing professionally. You might catch me humming a tune every once in a while, but
okay.
Karaoke is not my thing, so I don't think I'll pursue that avenue.
Listen, Don, we're never going to meet. If you could just go ahead and tell me that on your Budweiser Clydesdale farm, you sit under the tree and play guitar to the puppy, I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, well, of course I do that.
So just so you know, the women, we've talked to so many women that just absolutely love that commercial, and we just love the part that you play in it. When you got that ad and you were reading the script, were you like, score? I mean, was that like a big get?
Yeah, I tell you what, the first time I went in, and some people were asking about that, and the first commercial, I really connected immediately with the script. There's not much of a script, but you get the storyboard and the explanation of the current. And I really, some things you don't, you have to really work to get your placements in the emotional current. But this one, immediately I knew exactly what was going on. And then the second one, when they showed it to me, I was, like I said earlier, I was like, oh, man, you guys, this is awesome. So it was – they're just – say again?
I said they just slayed it. They killed it.
They killed it. They really killed it. It was really fun stuff.
And so did you know that you were going to do a sequel to that ad, or did they come to you this year and say, hey, we got an idea?
I did at the time of the first one. I did not know I was going to do a sequel, but I got a few friends from set, and they started sending me Facebook messages going, "I think they're going to do another one, Don. I think they're going to do another one." I was like, "Don't tease me, don't play." And then lo and behold,
absolutely.
Here we are.
Yeah. So, are we? What is your acting goal? Do you want to do films? Do you want to do stay in commercials? Do you want to do shows? Are we going to see you on a reality show where you're handing out roses or something? What's the deal?
No, I'm not. You won't catch me on any reality TV. I'm an actor. Yeah, but I mean that is why not think positive? You're going to dream big. So being on the silver screen would be great. That would be great. I've done it once. I played Neil Armstrong in Transformers 3, so I want to get back there and let's go big.
All right, I'm gonna call my friend. Our listeners know that I have a really good relationship with Leonardo DiCaprio, and so I'll call him. I'll put in a good word.
Yeah, just tell him you got a friend named Don Jeans. You need to put him in a movie. Yeah, I got it. I'll look forward to that call.
Don't hold your breath, Don.
I'll expect that by 5 today. Thank you very much.
Well, listen, we're so excited to talk to you. I hope that we can have you on again just to catch up with you, especially when they call you about the third ad when you're going to be making the babies with the girl that owns the farm down the street. I'm telling you, it's genius, and I want a cut because that was my idea.
Hey, let's keep it going. I think it is. You're on to something here, and you will definitely have me back on at that time.
Sounds great, Don. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today, and congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you.
Don, where can people follow you? Twitter, Facebook, do you have a Facebook page? How can they follow you?
I do. You can go just search Don Jeans, my name, Donjanes, on Twitter, and I should pop up there. It's, I have a fan page on Facebook as well. Or you can go to my website at www.donjenes.com.
He's kind of big time, though, Glenn. So when you do send him messages repeatedly and stalk him on Facebook, he's not the one who is going to write you back, just so you know.
It'll be me.
It'll be a year later, but it'll be him.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, John. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. I love him.
Did you start stalking him right after the last commercial?
I did. It's been a year. It has been a year. And if you recall, Glenn, I got a little bit of...
We had a challenge
that who was going to get their guest on the line quicker. And you were supposed to get Rosie Napravnik, and I was supposed to get Don Jeans. And I have gotten Don Jeans. And how many times has Rosie been on our show? A big, fat goose egg. Zero.
I win. It's kind of different when a woman stalks a man than the other way around. It's kind of different.
That's why you have a wife, a producer. She needs to do your
dirty
work.
Yeah, but she hasn't, if you remember right, she was part of that challenge, and she hasn't delivered Carrie Underwood yet either, so.
This is true. Probably for different reasons, though.
Very good. Very good get there, Jamie. That was a lot of fun. He's a good guy. He's a neat guy.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that it's true that he really does own a Clydesdale farm, and there was a lady down the street with the puppy, and it was all true. So
I bet
cool.
you he had never met a Clydesdale. You notice he said a ranch in Texas. That meant it was all quarter horses and an app. But he had never met a Clydesdale before then, I'm sure. That's funny. He was good, though. You know, I meant what I said. When you see most of these actors on the interviews, they suck. I mean, they just can't. They ask them to describe the movie. It's like they weren't even in it. They have no idea what the plot is. They have no idea. And he just played right along. So I knew he had to have improv training, you know, so... He was good. Very good.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
I love him. I love him more now.
Yep.
Even after the baby Clydesdale and the puppy, now I like him more. But I'll stop stalking you, Don. I'm sorry. I'm done. We're friends now. It's cool.
All right. Let's hear about Rose of the Horse, and then it's time for Really Bad Ads.
Don't miss Road to the Horse International 2014 at the Kentucky Horse Park, March 14th through the 16th for the World Championship of Colt Starting. Watch Dan Steers from Australia, Antoine Clo from Switzerland, Jonathan Field from Canada, and the first ever Road to the Horse wildcard competitor. They all face off to see who will walk away with the title of World Champion. Watch, learn, and be inspired to reach a higher level of horsemanship at Road to the Horse. Plus, enjoy our largest shopping experience yet. Find out more at roadtothehorse.com.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Yep, it's that time, Glenn. Glenn, are you there? Did we lose you?
We've lost Glenn. He's a goner.
Bye, Glenn. Okay, well, we'll just have to do the ads together then, Jennifer. Yes, it is that time. It is time for Really Bad Ads. What are the prizes today, Jen?
This week on the prize table to the left, we have Dr. Rose's Remedies, Skin Treatment Salve, and Spray, which are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatments for the cuts, scratches, abrasions, and chapped skin that you find on your horse on a daily basis. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. And on the opposite side of the table, from horsegroomingsolutions.com, a grooming tote filled to capacity with products from Horse Grooming Solutions valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and, for Glenn, Old Timers Equine. And when you can find them all at your local tack and feed store, or you can visit them online at horsegroomingsolutions.com.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Still no Glenn.
Well, Glenn, are you, is he gone still? Well,
he's
we'll
not
just
there.
Have to go ahead and get started. Jennifer, stick with me here. We'll go to my first one here. And we're going to start with Uta sent this one. It's fantastic. Thoroughbred all-around prospect, $1,000. And this is in Youngstown, which I believe is Ohio. All right. Glenn, we're having some trouble with you feeding back or something. I don't know what the deal is. Jennifer, are you there?
I'm here. I'm ready. We're going to do really bad ads
out of it. All right. 6 years old, about 15-7. That's a new one. Off the track, check out this. Some people give really bad names to racehorses. Registered name is Aunt Marcy. Barn name is Elliot. 10 money-earning stats on the track. Own daughter of Pollard's Vision. Completely sound, very fast, very spirited, very green. Needs an experienced rider. Ridden English and Western. Started on barrels. She's a lot of horse to handle, but doesn't know much. She will be a great horse, fit someone with more time to work with her. Or, if you wanted her to stand in a field, she needs to work. Asking $1,000. That doesn't even make any sense. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
No, not at all. Zero.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and do Glenn's then, if Glenn's still not here. Glenn?
Nope, he's busily dialing.
I'm sure he is. Chelsea sent this one in. Horse for sale, $2,000 in Auburn. That might be Ohio, too. Oh, bless his heart. His name is Joey. Joey is a 7-year-old gelding. We bought him last year. However, I decided that he wasn't a good fit for my daughter. He stands for farrier and vet. Very good trailering. Basically walks on by himself, clips, bathes, grooms, and packs well. He actually sounds like a good horse, right, Jen? Like,
yeah, so far so good.
Not perfect for the daughter, but he has manners. Has been on trails, but gets a bit spooky if he's alone. Needs an experienced rider. Would make a great jumper. He's got the speed, and he jumped his 4-foot paddock fence. He will fall in love with the boy.
Now we got it.
Come try him out today. So basically, he's going to run away from home. So
yes.
You're screwed. Awesome.
Now
I'm back. I think I'm back on the phone. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Jeez, I don't know what happened there. I guess my system died. I don't even know what ad you're on. So
it's your turn to do Janelle's. Third one down.
Oh, Janelle's. Okay, got it. You definitely have a theme going in the ads here today. Janelle sent this one in. She said, I have a beautiful black/white paint mare. She's 5 years old. She's not broke yet. Sold her to a girl, and they were working with her and did get a saddle on her. They didn't pay me board for over 6 months, so I took my mare back. I work out a layaway plan if you want to put some money down and make payments for 3 months. Didn't she learn her lesson the first time? You will have to get the horse paid for in 3 months. I don't do refunds at all. So if you want to buy a horse, make sure it's your money down on the horse. I don't give any money back because you would be keeping me from selling the horse to the next person who may have cash and pay for her. So remember, no refunds on the horse you put your money down on. No refunds back.
Maybe I can get a refund. You know what this is? I know what she's doing. She did the same thing with the last buyer. She said, oh, sure, make payments, knowing they wouldn't. and collected a couple hundred bucks, resell the horse, collect another couple of hundred bucks, resell the horse.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that's a person you really want to get in business with. So just avoid that one. And the thing is, it doesn't say how much the horse is, so it could be $1 million. Who knows? I don't.
Maybe you
know.
Need to make a prepayment, huh?
Yeah. Oh, there you are, Glenn. Welcome back.
Yeah, I just switched with Jenna. I'm Jennifer's studio now, so we switched.
Oh, well, that's good. Poor Jennifer's got to be on the phone. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
Oh, geez, talk a little quieter.
$800.
Gemma sent this one in. At least we got through Don Jeans, even though there was a little feedback. So we made it. Gemma sent this one in. Beautiful flea, F-L-E-E, like they're running away, flea bit horse in West Jordan, Utah. This horse is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. Max has an excellent disposition, very sweet, and will follow you anywhere. Loves to run and go, trail or endurance horse, has been rode English and Western, and be ready to go. For a small horse, he has a ton of go in him and doesn't hardly get tired. It's great on roads, around traffic, trains, dogs, etc. Great with other horses. Oh, did I mention that he loves to go? And will accept any reasonable offers, price for a quick sale. Basically, get this freaking runaway out of my barn.
Yes, yes, he's going to run away with you. And if you're lucky enough to stay on, you're going to have the ride of your life.
He does not get tired. He is a runaway, and you better be ready because he is going to run through traffic, run down train tracks, whatever. He's going to run away with you and get him the hell out of my
fences.
Barn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun one. $800 for that flea bit horse.
Flea
well,
bit.
Now, flea bit. Now, Rachel sent the following in. Willing to trade for horse, Buckeye / Tunipah. It must be
oh,
out
God,
your way
Arizona.
Somewhere.
Yeah, oh, it's way too close to my house. This is way too close to my house.
Me and my boyfriend are both desperately seeking a good horse. He needs been there, done that, dead broke, gun safe, sound trail horse. I used to show horses. My passion is jumping, not high, but for fun and small shows, but a horse that I can trail ride as well. My boyfriend is a taxidermist. He owns Desert
what?
Heritage Taxidermy and will trade taxidermy work for just the right horse.
Oh,
so if you owned...
my God.
Of course, we both have our preferences on breed, size, and color, but we are open to anything. If anyone is interested, please text. If you have a horse you need stuffed, this is the man for you. He'll trade a live one for a stuffed one.
That's exactly where my brain went. Like, here, I'll give you a horse if you stuff my horse.
That's right.
That's
a
new one.
That's funny. Thank you, Rachel. That was
Google.
Good.
I'm going to Google right now Desert Heritage Taxidermy because I need to see what this guy looks like. Let's see here.
You're going to find a whole bunch of pictures of dead animals.
Oh, they don't have a website. They don't have a website, but they do have a Facebook page without a photo. So really legit organization. No website. No, you can't find them. You can't find them online. Oh, wow.
And once again, the people looking to trade for the perfect horse are going to be very particular about breed, size, and color in exchange for a stuffed moose.
Oh, my God. You can have – we'll take your dog. We'll stuff your dog. You give us your horse. It's quite a deal. Wow, you can have a lot of fun with that one. Oh,
yes,
boy. Robin sent
we better
in
go
the
on.
Next one. Yeah, Robin sent in the next one. Warm blood for sale, $12. What a deal.
This is, you know, poor Kayla went all the way to Ireland.
I know. And she could have got a warm blood stallion from right here in the U.S., and his name is Carbon. Carbon is a 2006 stallion who is registered and branded with AWS in the Maine stud book. The last time he was measured at 3, he was stick measured at 17 hands, so he is at minimum 17 hands. He is 100
decks
could have been. That was 5 years ago. Can you not put a stick to him in the last 5 years and find out where he ended up? Like, whatever. That's just oddly written. He is 100% sound, and for a stallion, is easy to handle and likes to have a job. I'm sure he does like his job. He has had all groundwork done, and he was saddled about 10 times. He never minded the saddle or rider. However, at the time, my plans changed, and I did not have time to finish him out. He is very easy to train and picks things up quickly. He would be an awesome cross with thoroughbreds and Arabians, which was my plan, but I've come to realize I do not have the resources to breed. His sir was a Clydesdale, and his dam was a thoroughbred cross, which clearly makes him a warm blood. Way to not yell that guy and not get him broke, even though he is 8 years old. Carbon will come with 2 months of training to work with him under saddle with his new owner. At this time, I am asking $12,000 for
him. Whoa! That's a little different than $12, isn't it?
Let me get this straight. You've got an unbroke, ungelded crossbreed, and you want to sell him for $12,000. I wish you the best of luck, my friend.
The thing that struck me on this one is the last sentence says Carbon will come with 2 months of training to work with him under saddle. Why didn't they do the months of training before they sold the horse?
I know. It doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is terrible. And please stop breeding mixed horses with other horses, because we have too many horses out there. And stop breeding it with thoroughbreds and Arabians. Who wants an Arabian Clydesdale cross? Seriously? What is it going to be?
That's an odd combination. Mary sent in, that was Robin that sent in, and thank you, Robin. Mary sent in the following one. It's a new name, too. Oh, my God. Did you see the pictures of this trip? Every week we say this, but every week the trailer gets worse. Oh, and they won $3,000 for the, okay, let me read the ad. Three-horse trailer needed. Or a three-horse trailer needs TLC, I'd say.
No.
$3,000. I have an 84 model. Now, let's count. It is 2014. That makes this a 30-year-old, somewhere in there, 30- or 40-year-old trailer. 30-foot gooseneck. Yeah. Oh, this isn't like the little two-horse trailer like we usually have. This is a gooseneck that's a three-horse steel trailer. 4 escape door, 2 saddle racks and saddles, gas and water storage tanks, spring-loaded awning, 18, it was spring-loaded about 25 years ago, 18-foot living quarters, kitchen sink, microwave stove, refrigerator shower, windows air conditioning, 2 western saddles, and a horse. Take it all for $3,000. And when you see that this thing is parked, this isn't even out in the field. You know how the grass is usually grown up around the tires and stuff? This thing is parked in the woods. You can't see the tires because the leaves are trees. I don't know how they got it in there. And then
because the trees have grown up around it, Glenn. The whole trailer was here before the trees.
Well, you know, that one might be true, actually. You're right.
Yeah.
And this thing is a rust bucket. It is a 30-foot trailer, and it is a gooseneck. That is all true. But the tires don't appear to be even existent, and they do have pictures of the inside on this one. And the saddles, let's just say those saddles haven't been taken out of the trailer in 30 years. And the inside of the trailer, you just look at it, there's a shovel sitting on the table. You just look at it and go, oh, my God, that trailer, you can just imagine what it smells like. It stinks.
Oh, God. My stomach is turning. There's bedding on the bed.
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
And on the table there's 3 items on the table. A shovel, a dog dish, and a hoof pick. Seriously?
That's true.
Can you imagine how bad it smells in there? And then if you were to pull out those saddles, how green and moldy they would be. OMG, this thing is disgusting.
It's disgusting. And it's way over our $400 trailer limit. $3,000 for this. But it comes with a horse. Did you notice they spent all the time talking about the trailer and it says, and a horse? It doesn't tell you anything about the horse.
Yeah, there's no knowledge, no information about the horse. And by the way, can you imagine how much this thing weighs?
steel, yeah, you're right.
18-foot living quarters. The reason it's in the woods there is because no truck can pull it out. Oh, it's so gross.
Jennifer will post that on that Horses This Morning Facebook.
You know who's been living in that thing? Squatters.
That was a good time.
Carol sent in the next one, hot little fireball for $500 in Saudi Daisy. I have a 5-year-old mare, will turn 6 in April. Solid black out of Tennessee walking stock, is not registered. She is a little under 15 hands. I have had her since she was 7 months old, done all the groundwork on her, and sent her to a walking horse training barn to be ridden, which, of course, to me is scary. She never bucked. Loads good, stands for the farrier, saddles well ridden, both English and Western, stands to be saddled and mounted. She is headstrong and requires a strong hand. After the first 10 minutes of riding, she starts her crap. Crow hopping, going sideways, walking backwards, trying to buck. I thought they said she never bucked. But she is too fat to buck hard. After Awaguki, she will settle down and go on with her business. I am the only one in the family who can ride her. I hate to part with her, but medical issues will not allow me to risk getting hurt on her, which I haven't yet. She's a great little
but
horse.
I'm going to.
I'm going to die. After she earns your trust, she is in your back pocket. Again, she will take a strong hand. Is not a beginner's horse nor a kid's horse unless your kids are tough as a pine knot. Come and meet Addie, named after her bad attitude. She's a beauty. If I don't sell her come spring, I think I'm going to start raising gated mule colts out of her. Price is firm. She is strong-willed, and I will not give her away. Oh, my God.
Didn't that whole ad just make you want to run out and buy that horse?
Yes, because she's been, like, can you imagine the abuse that this horse has suffered? I feel bad for her. I feel really bad for her. And the ignorant owner that owns her, I don't know where she is, but, yeah, I feel like buying her. And the fact that, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll just breed her. Like, oh, are you kidding me? Let's make more of her. Sounds great.
Why do they always want to breed the crazy ones? You know, for some reason, people just don't have any common sense. They're serious, and a lot of people do it. They take the crazy one, and they say, well, if I can't use her for anything else, I'll make babies with her. Where in the world does that make sense?
You know, it's like saying, you know what? She's got a really crooked leg. Let's just breed her. Why? Why?
Oh, that was a good one. Thank you, Carol. Martha sent this one in. This is very short. One amazing horse for sale. Don't want to do this, but we can't take him on the plane with us. Leaving the country, $700, includes the horse, saddle, bridle, and one large bale of hay. Call today before the police show up. Oh, no, I added that part. So, yeah. Why do we think that they're leaving the country?
Hello, Sherry. Thanks for coming. I'm about to get arrested.
I need out of here now. You can have it all, just you have to be here in the next 10 minutes.
Please, come quick.
That's a much better deal than the $7,000, the $12,000 one, which does not come with a bale of hay.
That's true. That's true.
But
yeah.
The trailer comes with saddles and a horse. So it is. There's a lot of package deals. A lot of package deals. Awesome. Kathleen sent this one in. Country Lodge, one-bedroom unit in Mayakaka, Florida. Mayakaka. Country Lodge. This sounds really beautiful. Multi-unit lodge building, one-bedroom unit available in tranquil country setting. Qualifying person needed with carpentry, drywall, and plumbing expertise and tools to help finish the building. Your work, my materials. Rent is $400 a month plus electric plus work in the building and on the property. Wait a second. I'm going to live in a place that's not even built yet, and I'm going to pay you, and I'm going to build it. Wow. What a deal.
That's a Florida deal right there.
You're going to live in the middle of nowhere, because the next line is remote country location in southeast Manatee County, 25 miles east of Sarasota and Bradenton. If you enjoy the country setting, you will love this property because you're going to live on the property because there ain't nowhere to live. Please
Do you know what's east of Sarasota?
Nothing. Swamp.
A swamp. Exactly. That's what's east of Sarasota. Swamp. You're right. That's Manatee County.
Oh. You will be swarmed by mosquitoes every evening and attacked by alligators during the morning. You're screwed.
Yeah, because
please
there are no walls on your apartment yet. So
yeah, there's nothing. Look forward to talking with suitable candidates. Oh, my gosh. If that works, you know what? I need a new barn. And here, I'm going to put an ad for my, oh, no, here, you can live in my indoor covered arena that you're going to build, and I'm only going to charge you $800 a month. So it'll be quite a deal. That's ridiculous. Kathleen,
all right, let's save the rest of them for next week. We're running out of time here. Let's take a look at who we want to get the prizes. We have a gift pack from Dr. Rose's Remedies. And I got to tell you that one of my favorites was the hot little fireball for $500. I mean, that was a bad ad. You know,
that was a bad ad. You're right.
That was the crow hopping, bucking.
I think Mary needs the other one. Mary needs the grooming kit for that trailer. That was awesome.
Oh, that was a classic. Yep, that was definitely a classic. So Mary gets that one as well. Thank you to all of our sponsors for today's show. We really appreciate you being here. Sorry about the technical difficulties we had today. It definitely was a Friday. And
you know what I'm not sorry about? You know what I'm not sorry about is the fact that I got the guest, Sean Cheese, baby. And he's about to blow up, okay? He's so famous in just 5 minutes. And we're going to say we knew him when. We knew we had him on the show when. Because that's right, he's going to be in the Budweiser Clydesdale ad on Sunday. And I'm not apologizing for any sort of technical difficulties because he's hot. And he was really good. He was really good.
Well, he was good. It was a good get, Jamie. You did a good job. Good job.
Thank you, boss. Thank you, boss.
I'd give you the applause, but I don't know where it is on Jennifer's computer here, so I can't give it to you. I'll do this.
Oh, wait, hang on.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well,
good job.
Everybody have a great weekend.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we'll have a complete report on the commercials, on our favorites, and we always look at them from the animal point of view. Who wins the commercial contest for the Super Bowl based on the animals that were included in the Super Bowl commercial. So we'll see how they do on Monday. We'll be back here. And have fun at the Super Bowl. You know what, Jamie? We get to go up to my landlord here, and he lives next door, and he just got a 70-inch TV for Christmas. So guess what we're watching the Super Bowl on?
Nice. It's going to be like you're there, but it's not going to be cold or uncomfortable or crowded or anything.
We're going to turn the air conditioner down. So it'll be like we're there, put on our parkas, and we're going to sit there, and we're going to eat bad hot dogs and beer and watch it on the 70-inch TV. Go Thunder.
Cool. Everybody have a great weekend. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Can't get to the closing music either. Here, I found it. We're good. Say it again.
Spay, neuter, and geld.
Later,